Welcome to the Dirt on Data podcast, where we explore how to unlock the data needed to transform agriculture for smallholder farmers around the world. Our co-hosts, Richard Charlatan and Drew Whedon, talk to the people, businesses, researchers, and visionaries leading the ag data revolution. Along with our partners and collaborators, we explore the creative new ideas and innovations that improve food security, build sustainable and inclusive food systems, and catalyze a vibrant agricultural data ecosystem.
Welcome to the Dirt on Data. I'm Drew Whedon. Each month, my co-host Richard Jewelerton and I explore the innovations shaping the future of crop analytics, bringing you the dirt on agricultural data. We're very excited to welcome two guests to the show this month to discuss how data and advanced analytics enable improved access to extension services in smallholder systems. Amos Wusa with Farmerline in Ghana and Lyndon Estes with Clark University in Massachusetts are joining us this week. Welcome to you both.
Hi, thanks. I'm happy to be here.
Thanks, Drew. Happy to be here as well.
Thanks for joining us. Amos and Lyndon, can you each tell us a little bit about yourself and how you became interested in working in this field of digital agriculture, especially in smallholder systems? Let's start with you, Amos.
Thank you, Drew. So my name is Amos Oletewusa. I'm currently a senior account manager at the corporate services unit at Farmerline. I work with a team that leverages strong foundation in project management and knowledge in data to help drive radical business transformation with an emphasis on consistency, predictability, and efficiency. And with the key aim of working with organizations to get key insights into the value chains and for them to support smallholder farmers to make more and make productivity much easier to achieve. I am an ICT for Ag enthusiast, working in the IoT for Ag space and have held several managerial positions. And I think coming from a background of agric, my parents and family being in agric, I just love to work in the space to be able to support smallholder farmers to be able to benefit from their hard work.
Great. Thanks very much. Lyndon?
Thanks. Hi, I'm Lyndon Estes. I'm an associate professor in the Graduate School of Geography at Clark University. And my interest really relates to what the type of research that I do. I'm interested in understanding how agriculture is changing, what its impacts are on environment and society, how it's impacted by climate change, and what can be done to improve outcomes for people. Digital agricultural technologies are pretty fundamental to doing that type of research. We depend pretty heavily on digital technologies in the form of imagery, primarily satellite imagery, and the algorithms and computing power that's needed to transform that imagery into agricultural maps, and then to analyze within those maps how the systems are changing. So those are my interests and how they came to be connected to agriculture and digital technologies.
Fantastic. So what we'd really like our listeners from this episode to understand is how different types of organizations, in this case, a private sector extension service in Ghana and a research institution in the U.S., collaborate to come up with really end-to-end solutions and applications that can be used in smallholder settings. And so to start things off, could we just maybe get a little bit of a story of how your two organizations came together, how you met one another, and how long you've been collaborating in this field?
Okay, sure. So we've been working pretty closely these past couple of years, and I believe that we started our first round of this project in 2020. The idea to work with Farmerline first came from a meeting with Aloysius Atta, the CEO, who I met at the Grand Challenges meeting in Addis Ababa back in 2019, the Gates Foundation meeting. So I was presenting work on the cropland mapping initiative that we've been engaged in for a few years up to that point. And I was presenting in the poster session showing, you know, field boundary maps that we've been making for Ghana. And so Aloysius and I started talking about it more as it was producing data that I think could be of immediate use by Farmerline. And then the opportunity came to present to put together a proposal after the conference for the call to action. And so we met shortly after the conference online to start working on the proposal, which Farmerline led and I joined you know, representing Clark University thereafter. So that's how we came to first start working together. And we've been, you know, working these past couple of years quite closely, meeting on a weekly basis as we've developed these projects.
Just to add quickly, as Lydin said, that we've been working for this couple of years. And as we have in the structure and formal line, as the corporate services team look at the business development and implementation of projects that benefit the smallholder farmers that we work. So when the opportunity came and we work on the proposal, during the implementation, then I have to take lead with my colleague, Mary. So that's how we've been working since 2020.
Great. Thanks to you both. So, Amos, can we talk a little bit more about what exactly PharmaLine is doing in this space? How did it begin to work in extension services in Ghana, and how has it evolved, especially maybe in the last couple of years as you've been working with Lyndon? Just, you know, briefly tell the story of PharmaLine a little bit more in specific relation to these advanced analytics for smallholders. Thanks.
Thank you, Drew. So PharmaLine is a social enterprise whose core objective is to develop solutions that facilitate farmers' access to resources by leveraging innovative financing, technology, and a network of partners to help farmers increase yield and make more profit. We start operating 7,400 farmers in the Ashanti region, mainly in extension services. And we build on that and grown directly to serve over 123 smallholder farmers across the 11 regions of Ghana, which 51% of being women. And with our technology, we have been able to serve over 1 million farmers globally through the license of our technology platform. So initially, we built the platform to serve farmers with weather forecasts and market price information. But we have grown beyond that, looking at the needs of farmers and then providing the resources they need, and also providing the financing and also market access for them to be able to benefit from their work.
Thanks. So could you talk a little bit about how the advanced crop analytics and the good quality ground data that they require, where that fits within the work that PharmaLine's doing around farm management applications and extension services?
I think availability of input and other resources and agriculture extension services are key to improving the productivity and resilience of smallholder farmers. Mm-hmm. And when you couple that with market access, then everything becomes whole for these smallholder farmers. But in many regions, mm-hmm. such services are scarce and hard to deliver. And a key factor that limits these services is a lack of reliable data on smallholder farmer agriculture, including maps that describe the size of the crops, fields, and what crops are growing in them. So that is how the use of ground truth data and modeling to be able to predict what crops farmers are growing at a particular point, to be able to give insights, to provide the needed support, became very fascinating, and we started working with Lyden.
Great. So if you have those detailed maps, that allows you to sort of tailor those services that you're providing to those groups of farmers based on what they're growing in a given area. Is that a good summary?
Yes. And the key thing of knowing that is being able to support these farmers or deliver services to these farmers in a timely and a cost-effective way. So that is why we believe that using the ground truth data and drone imagery to predict the crops is very, very important.
Great, thanks. So as you think about the digital ecosystem that you're working in Ghana, what are some of the challenges that are preventing, whether it's the development of something new or the use of an existing platform, such as the one that you've built, or even just sustaining those kind of platforms? What makes it difficult to operate these kind of tools in this type of smallholder setting?
I think one of the challenges has to be with the cost of gathering such data. Ground truth data collection is very expensive, and same as using drone imagery, getting the resources to be able to have these data in reliable time and building these models are costly. And if you look at that, the smallholder farmers currently are not able to make enough to be able to pay for these services. Hence, it's always difficult to provide these valued added service for the farmers to pay. So it's always important to have collaborations and partnerships to be able to of take the initial cost of developing such innovations so that the long-term cost then become lower for the smallholder farmers to be able to benefit from it.
Great. Yeah. Driving down that initial development cost, that's one of the key drivers, I think, that we're trying to push for as a program, certainly. Okay, great. Thank you, Amos. We're going to come back to you a little bit later. But for now, I do want to switch over to Lyndon. So Lyndon, can you just tell us a little bit about some of the work that you're doing at Clark University in this kind of intersection of advanced analytics and smallholder farming, and what the connection to Farmerline kind of initially looked like, and where you're going now?
Great. Yeah, thanks, Drew. Happy to. So our connection with Farmerline, as I mentioned, began just in 2019, as I mentioned during that first meeting with the GCAM project. And it's become, you know, what I believe quite a strong collaboration. So we've worked together on these two projects, and we've also proposed several others and now working on a third one to generate a large Africa-wide set of labels for field boundary mapping with Farmerline in the lead and with Spatial Collective in Kenya as additional partners. So the crop analytics work that we do here at Clark is, you know, very much connected to smallholder farmers through our connection with Farmerline that's been growing steadily these past couple years. So what we do specifically is we've been involved in developing, in particular, mapping approaches for mapping both cropland in the form of field boundaries as well as crop types by gathering and applying the latest satellite data sets and techniques that are coming out of the field of earth observation and machine learning, and combine these to develop mapping approaches that produce reliable answers, or get close to developing reliable answers, and also providing hopefully a clear sense of what maps can and cannot tell you about agriculture as it's unfolding in smallholder agricultural systems. So a key part of the type of work we've been doing has been working with Farmerline to figure out approaches that help make the most efficient use of ground-based data that are needed to train and verify the mapping models. So from my perspective, this has been really one of the most rewarding collaborations I've been involved in so far, to work with an innovative organization like Farmerline that knows what needs are on the ground for data and what works and what doesn't work.
Great. So I don't want to go into too much depth here. For those interested, the reports from the work that's ongoing and that we're talking about here today, these reports can be found on our website, which is cropanalytics.net. But Lyndon, if you could just provide maybe a high-level overview of some of the innovative models, methods that you have been testing, some of the initial results that are coming out of this work, and just more generally, maybe what you're excited about as you continue to push the science here. I think that'd be great. Thanks.
Sure. Great. Thanks, Drew. So the types of things that we've been working on, the methods that we've been working on, I'd say relate to three overarching areas of application. The first, as I mentioned before, is mapping field boundaries. The second is mapping crop types. And then the third is really related to techniques to more efficiently collect and apply ground truth to train and verify the models that we've developed. So with respect to field boundary mapping, during the course of this project, we took an approach which allowed us to generate much more accurate field boundary maps with fewer labels, and it allows us to update the models more rapidly. The second area, crop type mapping, we found that at least one of the approaches we tested shows a lot of promise for being able to transfer more effectively. That means we can train a model using a combination of labels, and then we can take the model trained that way and update it locally, fine-tuning it with labels that are just collected for a specific region. So that suggests we might be able to get away with collecting smaller amounts of ground truth data in the future if we can use this approach of slightly updating models and fine-tuning them for local conditions. In this project, we also tried to implement two additional methods for ground truth collection, one based on drones, and the other using synthetic model generated labels to try and improve the reach of where ground truth data was being collected in terms of how broad of a geographic distribution could be covered, as well as to lower its cost. And so both approaches showed, some good promise. The drone sample with respect to collecting large amounts of ground truth and providing a better sense of what crops look like on the ground, and then the synthetic labels labels that are generated from the model's own predictions show that they actually can help make the model more accurate if you add those back into the model's original training pool. So those are the sort of three major areas I think we've focused on during this project and some of the, you know, more important findings.
Great. And maybe just two points of clarity for listeners who are not as deep in the technical space here. One, you just defined what accuracy means in this case, which is basically that using what you're getting, the data and the imagery that you're getting from the satellite, the model determines that this is, in fact, rice growing in the field. Yes, that is rice. That's accurate. Or no, in fact, that's beans. That's not accurate. So I think you kind of hinted at what accuracy means. Can you really briefly explain when you say labels, what you're talking about?
Thanks. Right. So the models that we work with, most of them are so-called supervised models, and they need to learn by being shown examples of the things that you're training them on, in this case, crop types. So you have to basically assign a label, which is usually a little polygon or a point that you place on an image where you know what the particular crop was that was growing there at that time. So you're labeling the imagery. You're saying here is an example of maize growing at this point in time, and here's an example of rice, etc. So you're attaching a label to an image, and that's used to train the models and also to verify its accuracy.
Excellent. Thanks. Okay, so looking forward a little bit, what do you hope that you will be able to do with these technologies, let's say in the next couple of years, that you can't do now? And what are some of the existing maybe gaps that are, you know, inhibiting the progress towards the potential of these technologies?
Okay, so it's a great question. It's actually a very big question, I would say. There are many things, of course, that we still can't do, even though the capabilities are growing rapidly. One of the things that I would like to do and I hope to do is to get field boundaries, like the delineation of field boundaries from models in smallholder systems, closer to what they actually appear to be in the highest resolution imagery we're currently collecting from satellites. You can do that on small scales, but to be able to do that over entire countries, we're getting close, but it's a ways away, and that has to do a lot with the extent and volume of imagery, high-resolution imagery that's available to cover extensive areas during the course of a single growing season. That's a capability that I hope can be done in the near future as more and more satellites become available. Mapping a larger number of crop types more accurately, more reliably is also something that I'd like to see happen. I think at the moment, at least our experience in this project, it's hard to get large amounts of data on minor crop types, particularly, you know, smaller statured crops, and to then to map those accurately is difficult. So major, larger crops, more extensive crops like maize and rice are easier. Other minor crops are quite difficult still. And that second point relates, I think, to one thing where I still think there's a lot of friction that we've started to address through this project, but I think it's still an ongoing effort, which is that there's a lot of friction getting data from the ground from the ground and into models that is needed to help make and verify mapping models. Those are the things that I think are going to be improving pretty rapidly in the next few years, and I'm excited to see where they go.
Thanks, Lynn. And this might be a question for you, but also perhaps almost if you could weigh in as well. When you're talking about friction and getting data from the ground, and I know, of course, Amos and the team have really been focused on that ground data component, so it'd be great to hear from him. But can you just maybe go a little bit deeper, what you mean there, what that looks like from your side, Lyndon, and Amos, maybe some of the challenges from the ground campaign side of things as well?
So I think, as Lydie mentioned, the difficulty has to do with resources. And in most of the areas that we work, smallholder farmers own an average of 2-acre farm land. So if you want to collect a large area, you need to attend to different farms at different locations. And sometimes these are not farms that are close by. So you need to get a lot of field agents and also other resources to be able to do that. Farmer Line's merge data platform helps to be able to digitize this easily. and be able to give you an overview of the farms that are coming in, and you are able to see where there are overlaps and you are able to clean that. However, this also takes a lot of human resource to be able to do that. So the cost involved is high. Now, it's also important to know that it's not because you are not working with all the smallholder farmers. Sometimes you are not able to assess all of them at the same time. So then it becomes an issue of whether you've been able to cover the whole area with the farm data that you are collecting.
Thanks, Amos. Yeah, that's a great summary of the field challenges. And from my side, sitting behind the computer screens and developing the models, there's also an extra element of friction related to the format and ingesting in the models, developing pipelines that are easily reproduced and steadily regenerated is quite a difficult source of friction that we found is the amount of time that has to go into processing data sets. Even well-curated and collected ones like the ones that PharmaLine's been collecting still have to be reconciled with labels that you find on Radiant ML Hub, which are also well curated, but they're different. And so you have to reconcile them. And then you have to develop the image processing pipelines that go behind it. And so you end up very quickly in a situation where each analysis has to be customized. And that, I think, is a challenge that limits how quickly you can deliver answers and make new crop type maps. That's one thing. And I'd like to just echo a point Amos made. A certain amount of these data will always have to be collected on the ground or near the ground. And just being able to sustain over multiple seasons in an ongoing way, the continued collection of representative sets of data, I think is a major challenge that Amos pointed out requires a lot of resources. So those are several of the major points I would think of.
Yeah, thanks very much. Okay, before we go on, maybe I would just say, just to wrap up this thought, are there any innovative kind of models, technologies, partnerships, beyond, of course, what you're doing, where you're seeing some of these barriers either are being actively reduced or have the potential to be reduced in terms of, having to do kind of a bespoke development every time, or having to pull a new data set every time? I'm just curious if there are any examples that you would point to of, this is looking really interesting. This is something that we should try to pursue more as a community.
I think for me, extension services provide all stakeholders, not just smallholder farmers, but you talk of farmer coaches, food processors, agro input dealers, aggregators, researchers, information across the value chain, whether it's different crops with the relevant and timely information needed at all stages in the production cycle for planting through harvesting and processing. So every innovations that come to enhance this extension service is key. And I believe that the community need to focus on this more so that we can be able to bridge these barriers to make the smallholder farmers benefit and improve their productivity.
Good. Just to also offer a thought, and this is sort of more on the methods side of things, I'm excited to see the potential of things like the transformers in new class of models that seem to require greatly reduced amounts of data to train them. Those are things I think can make a big impact, at least on the technology side. And companies like PharmaLine are leading the way in terms of taking information from those and making sure that they're making them useful to people on the ground. And I think that's an important innovation and development in its own right.
Thanks. All right. We've heard a couple ideas, Lynn and Nick, from you about what you're excited about. Amos, anything else that you are especially excited about in this space? Opportunities where you're seeing a lot of potential for more use of these technologies, whether that's across different geographies, different users, or anything else that comes to mind?
Yes, thanks. At PharmaLine, our mission is creating lasting profit for farmers everywhere. So the ability to transfer these crop predicting models across regions and ecological zones and its business potential of reducing cost in delivering this timely information and resources is a key insight for me, and I'm very excited about this.
Great. All right, my last question for both of you today, and maybe Amos, we'll start with you this time. What's something that's not obvious about working in this space, something that you wish somebody had told you before you ever got into the world of applying advanced analytics in smallholder systems? What's something that you'd want to share with community in terms of an insight that you didn't quite expect?
I think we all know the difficulty in collecting ground truth data. However, its importance is very far beyond the cost that is involved. So for me, I think getting to know these realities and we finding innovative ways of how we can be able to augment these ground truth data with drone imagery and be able to achieve the same models is very, very innovative. And I wish this is something that is already there before so that we would have been able to navigate it easily. That would have been something good. But it's all good learning also provides this information to the community so that it serves as a base for other people to use for in their work.
Great. Lennon?
Yeah, thanks, Drew. So the things I would say I think are probably obvious in some ways, but they're worth reiterating. I almost just said it. The fact that the ground truth data are critical and they're really the rate limiting step. That's obvious, and I believe it's the idea that the whole enabling crop analytics at scale project was based on. It's really hard to get ground truth data, and it's hard to sustain its collection. Another thing I'd say, and I've heard other people say this, which is that developing a good model and ability to map is one thing. Scaling it up and automating it so that it becomes usable in sort of in a production ready environment is a major challenge that is often overlooked in a lot of projects that start with research. So it comes back to a point I think I made before, which is that you often find that each new update and analysis that you're doing, even if it's mapping the same area over and over again, there's a certain element of it that ends up being bespoke, which causes you to have to rework things, your analytical workflow. And that's something that became apparent to me during the course of this work. And I think probably something that most other people engaged in this type of mapping and analytics would recognize quite easily, but I think it's worth stressing and highlighting, and it might be one of the major barriers to taking Earth observation analytics and making it more readily usable for people on the ground.
Fantastic. Thanks. Okay, we've covered a lot of ground today, but to try to summarize briefly, I think what we've heard a lot of is from Amos and the Farmerline team, certainly the opportunities to deploy advanced analytics in smallholder environments is incredible. And the advances that are happening in the field, driven by companies like Farmerline and the merged data platform that they've developed, it's really pushing both the science and the practice in a way that we haven't really seen to date. And if you can couple it with the advanced mapping, field boundary delineation, and other, as Lyndon said, rapidly evolving data science, the potential here is incredible, but bringing that to production scale, I think that last point that Lyndon made is critical, figuring out how to deploy these things at scale and not having to recustomize and redevelop for every single scenario and situation and ecological zone remains a challenge. And it remains one that, in my personal opinion, collaborations between organizations like Farmerline and Clark are really ideally positioned to address. So with that, I would just like to extend a huge thank you to our guests today, both Amos and Lyndon. Thank you so much for your time, your insights. Really looking forward to wrapping up the existing work that we're doing with both of you. And again, just a huge thanks.
Thanks to our host this week, Drew Whedon, and to all the listeners out there, thanks for tuning in. We look forward to seeing you next month when we connect with Rebecca Garrity from Agrometrics to talk about data repositories. The Dirt on Data podcast is produced by the staff of Tetra Tech's Enabling Crop Analytics at Scale initiative and supported by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. to receive the latest and greatest updates from the ECAS project, follow us on Twitter at ECAS_AgData or visit our website at www.cropanalytics.net.